TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. The author of over 20 books, Mark Shaw, former legal analyst for USA Today and CNN, also a California attorney and investigative reporter who has dedicated the past 10 years to probing the truth about the JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald assassinations through his three books, King of the Courtroom, The Poison Patriarch, and The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. His new book, Fighting for Justice, The Improbable Journey of Exposing Cover-Ups About the JFK Assassination and the Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen, comes out, I think, tomorrow, and he is here with us now. Welcome back to the show, Mark Shaw. How are you?
Well, good to talk to you again, Joseph. Absolutely. I see you tied together Elon Musk and the Pope in that last situation. I thought that was quite interesting. There's some interesting people out there today, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, what happened with the Pope today, real quick? Like, he came out against, I guess he made some racially charged statements about Russia, Ukraine, and backing the Ukrainians. And I read the article in RT, but I didn't pick up every detail. Did you hear about it? Yeah, we were in some strange times.
I guess it depends on what they mean by racially charged. There, you know, isn't it interesting, Joseph, because I know you're a man of words with what you've done, it depends on how these words are used and interpreted, because they mean something different to different people. And, we in this area where we live, for instance, in California, we're in a very diverse area. And so we have people from all over the world living here. And I think it's interesting at times, you know, to try to understand that they may not see the world as we do. I'll tell you, we're very close to a couple from Ukraine, and we haven't talked to them about the situation in Ukraine, but I'm sure their interpretation of what's happening there will be completely different if we live close to two people from Russia, for instance. So I think, you know, you're a wordsmith and so am I. And so, you know, it's interesting to think about that and be careful with being judgmental about, you know, what people are saying at times without going into what their background is and what their viewpoint of the world is. Don't you agree?
I agree. Absolutely. It's funny you say that too, because my fiance is Russian. So, and her grandmother, we talk to a lot. I actually get along really well with her grandmother, who I speak to through interpretation. And her take on that whole Ukrainian-Russian situation is obviously very different than the mainstream media's one. So it's very interesting. You're right. You're exactly right. So it's funny. I think we all just have to keep an open mind. But I think minds are opening and people are starting to ask better and better questions. And I heard you on a recent interview bring sort of self-question, what's the relevance of these topics that you're writing about, this assassination of JFK, Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen, and RFK and their proximity together and all that. What's the relevance of bringing this up now? And you said, because back then we didn't ask the right questions. What are the right questions about all this?
Well, in my day, now I'm going to give up my age here a bit. I'm 77. A very young 77, by the way.
You are a young 77, brother. You're doing there well. You go.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But in my day, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, even 70s, 80s, we never even locked the door in our home. We never questioned an awful lot of what was going on in the country because we trusted people so much. We trusted politicians. We trusted the media. You know, and for most of that time, you could do that. I was talking to somebody today about this. Everything has changed with 24-hour news. Now, I know that's what business you're in. But back then, you know, when Walter Cronkite was the dean of the journalists for CBS and Dan Rather and those people, you know, you used to have 1 hour of news a day. And maybe right. you got something in the morning and maybe you got something late at night. But most of the time it was 5 to 6 p.m. on the East Coast and an hour across the country. And so that's where you got your news. And, you know, that was it. Well, today now with it nonstop from morning until night, everything has changed so much. And so what I was saying, what you heard was I was saying back in those days in the 60s, especially with regard to the JFK assassination, certainly not enough questions were asked because we were in that trust mode. You know, this new book on the front cover of it, you can see across there you have Bobby Kennedy, Dorothy Kilgallen, a journalist that we can talk about, the very famous journalist, Marilyn Monroe, J. Edgar Hoover, and then the Warren Commission giving their report to Lyndon Johnson. Well, back then, we trusted the Warren Commission to investigate JFK's death, and we believed we were going to get a thorough investigation and the truth. And unfortunately, that didn't happen based on all of the new evidence that I'm bringing to bear. So one of the problems back then, and it had to do with Martin Luther King's death as well as Bobby Kennedy in 68, during those years, 62 to 68, Maryland 62, JFK 63, Dorothy 65, Martin Luther King 65, and then Bobby Kennedy 68, we had all of these tragic deaths. But people didn't ask the right questions because they trusted those people then. And I see that today as well because, you know, especially when news is politicized so much, everybody has their avenue to get the news. And all I would say to them is, no matter what your preference is, whoever it is, whether it's me or you or anybody else, just make sure you don't take things at surface value. Do your own research. Don't go to Wikipedia, for instance, because that's been completely compromised with anybody going in there and making any changes they want to and everything. So, you know, ask questions and make up your own mind with regard to what you think. I've recently been saying regarding the mass killings that we have in this country that continue on and on and on and on, Joseph, what are the right questions to ask about that? Is it about gun regulation or is it about mental illness? Because each one of these tragedies, whether it's at a school or a Walmart the other day or, you know, wherever it may be, a theater or whatever, most of these people have mental issues. Are we dealing with mental health as much as we can, as well as focusing in on availability of guns?
And spiritual health as well. I mean, because in the case of the Walmart shooter, he actually specifically said that he was being taken over by Satan and, you know, even asked God for forgiveness. And there's a spiritual component to that one, which I know for the non-spiritual, they would put that in the category of mental illness. But for those of us who believe that resonates pretty profoundly as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I'm a spiritual person myself. I wouldn't call myself religious, but I'm a spiritual person. I actually went to seminary at one point and all of that. So I believe there is a spirit roaming around out there. In fact, with Dorothy Kilgallen, I feel like from the hereafter, she, you know, was able to somehow or another kind of choose me to write her story. And that was in what became a bestseller, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. We can talk about her a little bit, but she was a very spiritual person as well. The New York Post called her the most powerful female voice in America in the 50s and 60s. And for whatever reason, you know, I believe that Dorothy, who disappeared from the face of the earth once she was murdered in 1968 or 65, you know, in some ways has influenced an awful lot of my research and everything. So I'm right with you in all of that. And you know, if this gentleman who caused all of these deaths at the Walmart, I mean, going into a break room with employees that he has worked with, and because some of them apparently picked on him. You know, when I grew up too, I will tell you, if you and I had a disagreement and really got into a real rhubarb, as we would call it, about that, we'd go out in the street or behind a school,
fisticuffs, right,
it out.
Mark?
But
I know.
Now,
and then probably become friends.
AK-47. Yeah.
And then we would probably become friends after the fight. Yeah. All right. So Dorothy killed.
Depending on who won, of course.
Dorothy killed Galen. She's like your muse, I think. I really do. You say that she's contacted you in the spirit realm. The way you speak of her makes her seem like the most interesting lady that ever lived. I like this aspect of, you know, what you've uncovered here with the Dorothy Kilgallen's death or murder and JFK and Marilyn Monroe's all happening within 40 months of each other. And the idea that that was just to sort of get RFK, make him somewhat powerless against Carlos Marcella, who has a lot to do with this story down in New Orleans. And that's where, that's what led to Dorothy Kilgallen's murder going down to New Orleans. Is that right?
Well, yes, Dorothy was in the middle of all this. You know, in the new book, I have more material than I did in other ones about her early life as a cub reporter. And then, you know, she became such a famous reporter. People can go to the DorothyKilgallenStory.org. I have all the information up there about her, her columns about the JFK assassination. We can talk about all of the things that she was able to do. She was syndicated her newspaper column to 200 newspapers across the country. But yes, she's been my influence. She's guided me along with regard to that. Some people think I'm probably crazy to say that, and that that somehow or another dissipates some of my research. But in the new book, you would read about the fact that she's always been in the middle of everything. And just to kind of focus in a little bit on what's in the new book with the corruption at the Warren Commission, Dorothy was, I do have two eyewitnesses now that are very important in my research. Dorothy was at the Jack Ruby trial. She was a very close friend of JFK's. I have new documents in this book about her friendship with him. He used to come to her home in New York City and play charades. She took her son to the White House, and he made a big fuss over here, her over him and his third grade class and all of that. So when JFK was killed, and she saw Jack Ruby shoot Lee Harvey Oswald, she was on the job. And she was right at the Ruby trial, right in the front row, the only reporter out of 400 to interview Jack Ruby. So then she investigated, and whatever Ruby told her, she went to New Orleans, she looked into Marcello, and you gave the motive there to make Bobby Kennedy powerless. Marcello and his buddies decided to orchestrate the death of JFK so Bobby would be powerless. Well, Dorothy knew all that. And she was going to write a book for Random House, and obviously they could not let her do that. I believe it was J. Edgar Hoover who was more scared of Dorothy than anything, because you have to remember back then he was shouting out, "Oswald alone, Oswald alone, Oswald alone." If it's a nut, then the FBI, like Oswald, then the FBI can't be blamed for JFK's death. But if there's a plot to kill the president, he can. And the main interesting thing to me when I started to look into the Warren Commission was that I found another eyewitness, and I'd like to talk to you about that, because everything changed for me in terms of not only what happened with the corruption in the Warren Commission, which affects the JFK assassination, but also what happened to Dorothy when she died, because she was in a lot more danger than I ever knew when I wrote The Reporter Who Knew Too Much.
And what was that danger? And how does J. Edgar Hoover factor into this? You can understand the motive of Carlos Marcella and his group of thugs doing all this to make RFK powerless. But why was J. Edgar Hoover invested into strong arming the commission to not investigate this further?
Well, the way you need to people need to look at the Warren Commission is to try to understand what the agenda was. We were all fooled. It's the greatest lie, arguably, in American history, the greatest con in American history. What they did is just a few days after JFK was killed, Lyndon Johnson, and I have proof of this in telephone conversations, audio tape conversation that people can find and listen to that with the links, in the book. And they decided, wait a minute, we cannot let anybody else investigate this JFK assassination except for us. Not Congress, not in Texas where JFK was killed, nobody. It's got to be us, because if he gets out of hand, then they're going to start looking at my, and I'm saying LBJ, because he had a past with being involved with the oil companies and other kinds of wrongdoings that he didn't want exposed. J. Edgar Hoover had always been on the take with the underworld. In fact, for a long time, he wouldn't even admit that there was an underworld of the mafia.
I see.
Very close friends with Frank Costello, a don in New York. He and Joe Kennedy were friends with Sam Giancana, another mafia guy in Chicago and all that. They don't want any of that exposed in any investigations. So in the tapes, you'll hear that basically what they did is they handpicked the members of the commission, and you'll hear them go through the possible people that can be members, and they go through and they say, well, now this person, you know, it may get too complicated here. He may want to look into this other material and everything, or other things than the Oswald alone theory. So we don't want him. And so finally, they come up with seven members, including Chief Justice Earl Warren. And then basically LBJ and Hoover bully these guys into only looking at the JFK, only at the Oswald alone theory, the Oswald alone conclusion for their report. Well, what happened is in February, in an incident almost like when I first found out about Dorothy Kilgallen, I got a call from a gentleman named Morris Wolf. And he said he had watched one of my presentations. There's almost 7.5 million views of my interviews. Presentations on YouTube, and he had watched one that I gave down in Dallas 3 years ago for the book Collateral Damage, where I first went ahead and connected the deaths of Marilyn, JFK, and Dorothy. And he said, Mr. Shaw, this was in an email first. He said, I knew Dorothy Kilgallen. Well, that perked my ears up because I look at primary sources. I want to find out firsthand information, eyewitnesses to history, because I'm a historian. I'm just like you. I think you're a man of the truth, Joseph. We like that. We want to find.
I try to be. I try. Hey, Mark. Let me. What at this cliffhanger of Morris Wolf and what he's got to say about Dorothy Kilgallen? I think that's a good place for us to take a quick break. Leave it on a cliffhanger. You can hear the music of suspension in the air. Ta-da! Here we go. We'll be right back with Mark Shaw after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Any violence, any assault, any threat is wrong, and I do not support it. But notice how these people leave out. They make it sound like the rhetoric is against trans people, you know, gay and lesbian people, and people who want to have sex change operations. No, we're talking about young children. We're talking about reading books to young children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, asking students without parental permission, Johnny, you look like a boy, but do you feel like a boy? Maybe you're a girl. That's what parents are outraged about. That's what people with any common sense and decency are outraged about. Now, it's not an excuse to do any of those things, threaten violence, commit violence, or any of that. But they've changed the message. They lie. They leave out. Fake news by omission is the worst kind of fake news. When you just conveniently leave out facts or conveniently leave out putting things in context, how they relate to past events that are similar. If there's no context and if you give half-truths, you're making it up. You're making it up.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Without CO2, the world stops breathing. CO2 sustains all life on Earth. Government, the WEF, and the elite believe humans are the carbon they really want to be rid of. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with the brilliant writer Mark Shaw, who's also a historian and all kinds of things, investigative journalist, a lawyer. His new book, Fighting for Justice, it's out tomorrow. Is that right, Mark?
Yes, it is. I don't know about the word brilliant. It took me almost 6 years to get through my alma mater, Purdue, nearly flunked out of law school. I'm the ultimate overachiever because, frankly, I'm not the greatest researcher in the world at all. a lot of this material has been out there for years, but somehow or another, a lot of it landed in my lap. As I talk about what happened in the Warren Commission, I'd like for you to kind of think about, in your own country, what kinds of corruption have been unveiled, have been exposed with regard to the government. Because, you know, I was thinking today, you go back in the United States history, it's not a pretty picture, frankly. I mean, you can go back to the Pentagon papers being hidden about the war in Vietnam. You can go back to the Nixon tapes mm-hmm. with Tricky Dick hiding everything. You can look at Snowden with the NSA secrets. I mean, you can go on and
Julian
on.
Assange.
The most recent president.
Hey,
the question about
that's what made your statement so interesting about we didn't know how to ask the right questions. I mean, there is this the expansion of human consciousness spurned on by all the propaganda we've faced over the last few years and really sort of the descent we've been on. I'm in your country, by the way. TNT is in Australia, but I'm out here in Arizona. No worries. So, and you know, and as far as brilliance goes, Mark, we're selling your book, so just go with it. And plus, you don't need to be a great researcher when the research comes to you, which loops us back around to Maurice Wolfe, who's writing you an email about Dorothy Kilgallen. Continue on with that part of the story.
You know, I want to tell you, I'm appearing at the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco. I've been there two or three times. I'm going out there December 1st, and in the description on that site, they called me a magnet for crowdsourcing. And I have to admit, I didn't know what that word meant, but it's absolutely true with regard to me, because just like with your show tonight, I'll bet you I will hear from two or three, maybe four people who have information about the Warren Commission or JFK or Marilyn or Dorothy or whatever, because so much of my material for my books has come from tips. And that directly goes back to Maurice Wolfe, because he watched that presentation down at a Dallas library, and he said he knew Dorothy Kilgallen. So, of course, I called him, and he just amazed me. This is a very distinguished man, a man I have a lot of respect for, and a very credible eyewitness. He was a Yale lawyer. He worked for Bobby Kennedy when Bobby Kennedy was in – he's telling me all this. Mr. Shaw, I worked for Bobby Kennedy when he was attorney general. And I was his assistant, and I worked on the Civil Rights Act of Title II of the Civil Rights Act. And then I was there when JFK was in the White House. He was in the Justice Department. And Mr. Shaw, they trusted me enough that I exchanged messages between the Kennedy brothers. I used to ride my bicycle from the White House to the Justice Department and back, and take messages back and forth, because they didn't trust J. Edgar Hoover that he wasn't tapping their phones. And he said, you know, I did that for years. And then Bobby Kennedy recommended me to a member of the Warren Commission, and we'll get to his name in just a little bit. And I was able to work with this man, and I rode with him, and he's very detailed about his account here. I rode with him in his Saab. He was a tall man. He had trouble getting in and out of the Saab to the Warren Commission hearings. And I was able at times to wait for him and sit in on the hearings. And, you know, that has always been a situation where it was a code of silence, and nobody was in the commission was ever to talk about the proceedings or the conclusion or anything else. And so I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I may have an eyewitness who was right there. And he said, well, listen, I want you to know that this senator was very upset with what was going on in the commission hearings. He really didn't believe that they were working on what they should be working on and all of that. And then he laid out a list of things, and I was writing my notes as quickly as I could. This particular senator said to me, the commission members already know about the Jack Ruby connection to organized crime, but they don't want to touch it. And of course, Ruby is the one who shot Oswald. They don't want to touch it, but they know about connection to organized crime. It's more than Oswald, the senator said, but Hoover and Chief Justice Earl Warren keep pushing the Oswald alone conclusion. Lyndon Baines Johnson now wants to cover up and move on the truth under a pile of stones. And then the one that really hit home with me, the commission members say the Oswald alone conclusion they're going to have is good for God and country, but there is internal corruption, and I don't know why. Well, you can imagine my reaction to something like that, because this was sacred ground. The Warren Commission. We all believe that they were telling us the truth, and here is this gentleman telling me that that's not the case. And I will tell you right now that when that happened, I had to go back and look up material about Norris Wolf to make sure he was on the level. But then I did everything I could to confirm exactly what he told me. And the way to do that, as you may know, Joseph, I went to the oral history of this senator at the University of Kentucky, his alma mater, and I found corroborative evidence of not only him being upset with the way the commission was going on, the corruption there. He offered his resignation at one point. He and another senator demanded a dissent when they came out with the Oswald alone conclusion, saying that they didn't believe in the silver bullet theory, that there was just one man, there was more than that. They weren't guaranteed that would be in the final report. And of course, when the final report was issued, it was not in there. And so I found all that to corroborate it. But Dorothy Kilgallen always looked at the small things, the tiny things about the cases she was looking into, and Toby Ruby's case and Dr. Sam Shepard's case, which became the fugitive, and the Lindbergh baby kidnapping case. And he had said to me two things. I met Dorothy Kilgallen at the Sore Eyes, the parties that were at the senator's home in Georgetown, and I sat right next to her. She was like a bright light bulb, he said. An investigative reporter, even at the dinner table, because she wanted to know information about the senator. And those parties were held at 29th and N Street in Georgetown. Well, you probably guessed this, and probably your listeners have too. When I went to his oral history, the University of Kentucky, where did he live? 29th and N Street. And then Morris Wolf, and then I'll quit, and I'm sure you have some questions and things. He gave me one other piece of information that was really important. He said, Mark, look very closely at the photograph of the Warren Commission giving the report to President Lyndon Johnson. And if you go across here, when people get the book, if they do, or they can go into the internet and find this photograph, you'll see that they have the senators. Here's Senator Russell of Georgia. Here's future President Gerald Ford. This is Chief Justice Warren, LBJ, of course, Alan Dulles, who was the former head of the CIA, and then two gentlemen here, and one of them is Hale Boggs from Mississippi. But this Morris Wolf said to me, look at all the men there. They are standing by themselves. But there is one man who's almost hiding behind another member because he's so disgusted with what was going on with the Warren Commission. And that man is right there. And that is Senator John Sherman Cooper of Kentucky, who is a longstanding friend of Dorothy Kilgallen's. And we'll talk a little bit more about not only how she found out about the corruption of the Warren Commission, but also some information that put her in more danger as November of 1965 came along than I ever knew before.
We'll be right back after the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. The United States has once again been called out for its hypocrisy after Washington vilified Iran for attacking Iraq. Five major news outlets, including the New York Times, are calling on Washington to drop espionage charges against Julian Assange. The Pope has sparked outrage after delivering a racially charged spray against the people of Russia. And Elon Musk has revealed more people are signing up to Twitter than ever before.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Mark Shaw, whose new book, Fighting for Justice, is out tomorrow. We're talking about the JFK assassination and how it relates to Dorothy Kilgallen and RFK and Marilyn Monroe all being connected in the case of three of them in the same 40-month time span. You know, it's interesting, Mark, because this was also the birthplace of the term conspiracy theorist. This resonates a lot with so many other cases that have come since, and any questioning of the main narrative has always just got you labeled a conspiracy theorist or a lunatic. And I'm sure that's something you even feel in doing this kind of work now. People are just kind of like, oh, let it go. But what are the implications of you uncovering this to a place where it's accepted the levels of corruption involved and the truth actually coming out? What are the implications for all of the conspiracies that have gone on since then being uncovered. And I feel like we're in this time of narratives crumbling as well. And do you think that your work here can actually bring that result about?
Well, I hope so. I think you're a man who does the same thing I do. You throw your ideas out there with that you have and also with your guests. And so you want people to stop and think. My books are stop and think books. It was just interesting. You brought up two situations there in the news headline, Elon Musk. Well, here in the United States, we're hearing, the Twitter is laying off all these people. And he's lost $100 billion worth of his net worth, which is not a lot for him. But the Twitter is in shambles. And yet he's saying he's having more people sign up and all of that. And then you talked about the United States with regard to the whole situation in Iraq. You talk about just hiding the truth there with regard to our going in and invading that country. That will always be a blemish on the United States. And yet, and there is hypocrisy there with regard to what's happening. And I would connect that a little bit. You have this way of going, in the present day and in years, a few years past, it always goes back to the 60s as well, when all these tragic deaths were happening because we weren't getting the truth with regard to what happened. I don't use the C word, I must tell you. I don't use that word because I believe it just lumps everything into the C-O-N-S-P-R-R-I, whatever it is, word.
That's plot, what it's designed to kill. That's
the president. Yeah. It is. And I think it clouds substantial good research about exactly what happened that way, because as you say, I've been called a lunatic. My email's been hacked. My Facebook page has been hacked and so on and so forth. But I've got a good reputation for being trusted, just like you do, I believe. And so people bring to you information that they wouldn't give it to others. I had to ask Morris Wolf, why'd you trust me with this? He said, well, I watched your presentation and Dorothy Kilgallen and defending her and all of that. I felt like I could trust you. And that's what we want. We want
truth
people to be able to trust us.
The truth resonates, and people who deal with the truth and try to uncover the truth resonate along with that. But what's interesting, though, in the C word that you don't want to use, conspiracy theorists, the birthplace of that, the sort of psyop, if you will, of that phrase to dismantle anyone questioning anything, the birthplace of that, my friend Mark Crispin Miller is a old professor of propaganda at NYU. He told me this, that it happened. It was born in exactly what you're investigating in the JFK assassination. Exactly. So this has implications and ramifications that go far beyond just this case. I mean, kind of it's the flavor of the day. I mean, and in terms of free speech and what Elon Musk is doing, and now I don't know if you heard the latest, but Apple is not letting the App Store show the Twitter app, or they're making sort of shadow banning that app. And Elon Musk is going to war with Apple on Twitter and calling them out for being afraid of free speech, and then also talking about making an Elon Musk phone if Apple does this. So, I mean, this is an intense time that is echoing off of everything that you're writing about, to be honest.
Well, I've got a problem with Musk now because Apple is our neighbor. We live in Santa Clara here, and the whole Apple campus is over here. I'm kidding about that, but they're right here and everything. I don't know what to make of him. We'll have to wait and see how that all, how that all works. But we shouldn't forget that there's another bit of corruption going on in our country, and depends on how you define that work, but that word. But perhaps you know that a couple weeks ago, the National Archives and Joe Biden, our president, were sued by an organization that has a very competent archive of JFK documents and everything. In 1992, there was a law passed in the Congress that the JFK documents, all of those that hadn't been released, had to be released by 2017. Well, 2017 came and went. And then 2019 and 2020, you had Obama not releasing things. You had Trump not releasing things. And now Biden, in my book, the new book, I say his excuses for not giving those documents to us is ridiculous. Some of the reasons he gave, the excuses, they'll have to do with law enforcement or whatever. I mean, oh, this is 60 years ago. Come on. So
I'm telling you, Mark, it's because of what I just said. It's because if this case is uncovered, it's okay for there to be suspicions around. It's okay for Mark Shaw's books to be out there. It's okay to sort of stoke the flames of so-called conspiracy theorists with all this paraphernalia, would be their words, I suppose. But if this is validated and comes out as the stone cold truth, which I mean, obviously it is. You don't have to investigate this stuff too deeply to know that there was some shenanigans at work, and a heavy amount of them. You just have to really have critical thinking about it, and it's pretty obvious. But if, you know, if the world at large knew that, then that would call into question every single other. It would be like a house of cards.
Well, you're right, and you're reading my mind, because I got in touch with a gentleman who is the lawyer for the people who sued Biden and the National Archives, because I told him I really believe that it could be possible that all of the documents about the dealing with corruption at the Warren Commission and other things about the JFK assassination could be in those documents that they're hiding, because the excuses they're giving don't make sense. So this is as logical as anything. And it's disappointing, because I don't know if you agree or not. I mean, we've lost trust in government. We don't know what to think, whether it's this president or the 100%. Back a ways. I mean, it's very difficult. And that didn't that wasn't always the case. And we've also lost that trust in the media. We don't know what the agenda is that most of the media organizations, and I'm not pinpointing yours, but there's other ones too that way. Journalism. People have said to me, all of these thousands of emails I've gotten, I wish we had a reporter like Dorothy Kilgallen today, that integrity that she had, because she actually went out there and got the facts, investigated, and then came back and reported the facts without any political agenda or anything on her part. We don't have that anymore in most cases. It doesn't matter if it's a mainstream media, or especially the mainstream media. I have very, very little respect for them, because all that's about now is money. One-upsmanship somehow or another, coming up with the sensational headline or whatever else it may be. That's why I say, no matter what you
money
read or what
something
you hear,
darker,
on the internet,
it's money on the lightest end, and it's probably something darker than money, but we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Certainly, keep going.
What is darker than money? You can't just leave that out there. Huh?
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's plenty darker than money. No, there's plenty darker than money. Okay. I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, freak you out, but it's like, you know, I think there's an agenda, a controlled demolition of America going on. I think there's a massive agenda to control and subjugate humanity. I think there's plenty of darker agendas. I mean, and I think there's a depopulation agenda going on too. So that would be way darker than money. That's why I say, in the very least, the lightest, it's just the corruption of money. But I think it's darker than that. But I like, that's why I said we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But I wanted to throw that.
You're
out there.
You're right though about the document situation, because these were seven highly respected men, and people looked up to them. This was the new president. This was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. These were senators and congressmen. Jackie Kennedy called Senator Cooper a man of character, like Dorothy Kilgallen was a woman of character. They were good friends. I mean, these were well-respected men, and for whatever reason, based on their being scared of information coming about with each one of them, coming out about each one of them, they just basically, and I will use the C word for a minute, just conspired to decide that, you know, it's like writing a term paper and you have your conclusion, and then you're going to fit everything to that conclusion and exclude everything that is adverse to that conclusion. That's exactly what they did. And they did it in a devious manner. It's the most alarming, governmental corruption, I would say, in history, because of those who participated in it. And right now, you know, people have heard me give these presentations stuff, and they come back and they're just absolutely shocked that something like that would happen. Mark, what was going through these guys' minds that they would want to lie to the American people and to the world and all of that? And I have to explain to them that they were scared. They were scared that, you know, information was going to come out about themselves, and that, you know, they used the excuse at times way back then, you know, we have to settle down America because we just had the JFK assassination. And so we've got to settle everything down. It's Oswald alone. Don't be afraid in your neighborhood. There's no bad people out there and all of that. Well, that's just an absurd rationalization. And as John Sherman Cooper put it, you know, it was lies all the way along, and never a thorough investigation of the JFK assassination.
So this guy, John Sherman Cooper, well, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah. I mean, well, it's the greatest trick the devil ever played, was trying to convince you that he didn't exist. And this is how he does it. You know, it's always two truths and a lie. Everybody needs to calm down. We don't want to freak everybody out, but that's just the devil trying to make you think he doesn't exist. I want to go a little deeper into John Sherman Cooper and what his angle is in this story right after these words on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
You can't make this up. There is a law firm suing the oil companies on behalf of Puerto Rico and the districts of Puerto Rico for $100 billion, claiming that climate change is making hurricanes worse. Now, let me get this straight. You live in a tropical island right in the middle of the main development region for major hurricanes. And let's see, how many major hurricanes have struck Puerto Rico? Well, there were two back in 2017, but before that, they keep missing them. In fact, I can't even tell you when the last time before 2017 they had a major hurricane. They are going to get major hurricanes every now and then. There are going to be slow-moving ones like Fiona, which dumped a heck of a lot of rain, but not because it was a strong storm, but because it was moving so slow. This is absolutely pushing the whole thing to a point of ridiculousness. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Many power grids worldwide are in grave danger of collapse from the growing amount of intermittent power sourced from wind turbines. Covering the countryside and offshore coastal regions with wind turbines is insane. English journalist James Dellingpole has described wind farms as a cancer, and that he wants to raise public awareness of just how disastrous these bat-chomping, bird-slicing eco-crucifixes are in every single respect. These remarks nail the reality of wind farms to a T. When the wind doesn't blow, there is no power. And when gale force winds hit, the turbines are shut down. It's a Goldilocks moment. When the winds are just right, the power produced is at an optimum. In reality, industry and households require power 24/7, not just when the wind blows.
Trump is back. Freedom of speech in action. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, in conversation with writer Mark Shaw, whose new book, Fighting for Justice, is out tomorrow, all about JFK's assassination and the deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. So before we go into John Sherman Cooper, though, Mark, there's always that the thing about the gunshots themselves with JFK, that the trajectory of the bullets doesn't match up with the story of Lee Harvey Oswald in some kind of office building or whatever kind of building he was in. And have you gone deep into that part of this whole story?
Well, not at all. And I'll tell you what, because, you know, I'm not smart enough to know what happened in Dealey Plaza. And there's so many different versions of what happened and who was there and where the gun was and where Oswald was or wasn't. And all of that. Dorothy Kilgallen, again, is my guide. And she never really looked into that aspect of that. She didn't look into Oswald because she believed he was a dead end and so confusing. She looked into Jack Ruby. She looked into Modi. That's what I did when I was a criminal defense lawyer. You know, I learned how to write books by actually talking to juries. I try to talk to readers like I talk to juries. And in those situations, what you're trying to look at, most times in any case where there's a homicide like JFK's is, or Marilyn or Dorothy, you're looking at motive. And I think what happens is, I was on a panel last week with a bunch of well-meaning individuals who have done all of this research, and I just kept listening to them, and it just seemed very confusing to me, and I thought it confusing to the audience in terms of what happened in Dealey Plaza. I don't think we'll ever know exactly what went on there, and so it's not an area that I've really looked into very much.
Fair enough. I love this idea that you're talking to the audience that you're writing for, like a jury, and explaining motives and things like that. So tell me a little bit more about this character, John Sherman Cooper, and how he factors into this.
Well, he and his wife, Lorraine, were best friends with John F. Kennedy. He was in the Senate with John F. Kennedy. There's a photograph of them together. They were the first couple that went to the White House, and very, very close friends. And then, of course, Cooper invited the president and Jackie to this soiree at Cooper's home in Georgetown, where Morris Wolf was, and he saw them there and all of that. So he had a love for JFK when JFK died. It's the same kind of love that Dorothy Kilgallen had for JFK. I have an account in the new book in Fighting for Justice. At one point, JFK's chief assistant is talking to a friend of Dorothy's at her home, and they put Dorothy on the phone, and she talks to JFK. So they really cared about the president. So when Cooper decided to become a member of the Warren Commission, I think he had every intention of really going after the truth. And yet, as it went along, he just could not buy they were doing with the commission probe. For instance, this letter of resignation, which I have in the book, it's right here. He went ahead and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, I can't be a part of this commission because, Chief Justice Warren is not even letting the members know when there's testimony. And the staff is doing all the investigation and all that. He was such a man of integrity, like Dorothy was a woman of integrity, but he couldn't put up with it. And he got so disgusted that the things that he told Morris Wolf, I think, were absolutely true. And the question, of course, that you may be asking and your audience may be asking, well, why did he put up with it? Why at the end didn't he speak up?
Right.
Even after maybe the report came out. Well, I think he was. And I think he felt like, you know, at that particular point, it was too late. They lied to him. There wasn't the dissent in there that he and another senator wanted. And I think he felt like a fool. And people who have know about the commission corruption now are feeling like fools. I feel like a fool. I believed it all. They just pulled the wool over our eyes and all of that. And so I think that's what happened. And I asked Morris Wolf about this, and he said it was with Senator Cooper, it was he just didn't feel like at that particular point, you know, that he could do that. And Morris Wolf said to me that he waited all these years to do anything because he felt a loyalty to Senator Cooper. But finally, he thought that he had to come forward with this, what you would call a whistleblower account, and trust me with the evidence of what Senator Cooper said about the commission.
I think anyone who trusts the government or the mainstream media ends up feeling like a fool. And the sooner you realize that they're making a fool out of you, the better off you are. And it's not just about the JFK assassination. You know what I mean? And Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen.
Isn't that sad, though, Joseph? Sad that you have to say that?
It's the truth, though, and the sooner you say it and the sooner most people realize it, the sooner we can change it. That's the thing, because, I mean, there's a huge con, and I don't want to go all into it right now, of course not, but, you know, there's a big con being played on humanity right now, and, it continues, and it's all about power and the corruption of power and the will to control humanity. And control narratives and lie to people and keep them contained.
I like that. Control the narrative, because that's That's exactly what happened here. They controlled the narrative. And that report came out. It's Oswald alone. Now everybody go to bed and forget it. And, you know, I had some reservations about writing this book and exposing this information, I must tell you, because I hope that the result of this will be that each one of these men who are on the Warren Commission, as well as J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson, their reputations will be ruined, that they will be held accountable for this incredible lie, this con job and all of that. And I was reluctant to do that, but I felt like it was important that people know about it. They can make up their own mind. I may get some emails and letters criticizing what I do and what I've done, but that's part of what we do. You know that. I'm sure you get the same thing that happens with your opinions that you promote on the air.
You develop a thick skin, Mark. That's what you got to do, and you just keep going in the direction of the truth as best you can. A big part of the story too is RFK and Marilyn Monroe and his involvement in her death, and you uncovering that. And I remember last time we talked, you speaking about having some exchange with RFK Jr. I wonder if that's gone any further. And also, what are some of the feedback you're getting, early feedback on the new book?
Well, thank you. Both questions. With RFK Jr., I sent him a copy of Collateral Damage. Just won a thick book over here and told him I'd debate him anytime, anywhere, whatever, and all that. And I just had sent him last week a copy of Fighting for Justice and told him the same thing, that that I knew he was going to be upset with things I said about his father and with the Warren Commission and blocking any investigations and things and more information about his involvement in Marilyn Monroe's death. He had obviously a torrid relationship, romance with her in 1962 before she died. She was going to the media about it. They couldn't let her do that. And I have two new accounts in Fighting for Justice about exactly how Marilyn died. As far as reaction to this book, so far those people have read it. I've been very flattered by that. It's amazing because they were shocked with what happened, but there's been some good thank yous about bringing it out. I do want to tell you, if you don't mind, about one honor that's just come my way, and I'll do it very quickly. I got an email a week ago Tuesday, and the opening line was, I am a singer-songwriter. My name is Judy Collins. And you can imagine when I saw that, how humble I felt like this Grammy award-winning singer, Judy Collins, a legend, as you know, with all of her music and everything, had gotten in touch with me. What she said in the email was so wonderful about my research, how upset she was about Dorothy Kilgallen not getting justice and all these kinds of things. And she told me about her new album, Spellbound, which is out there now. She's still touring at age 83. And that meant so much to me, as you can imagine, Joseph, because I have as much respect for Judy, Miss Collins, I guess I should say, as I do for Dorothy Kilgallen. So that meant a lot to me.
That's massive. You should do. Have you done the audio book yet for the new one?
It'll be out tomorrow. Yes. Everything will be out tomorrow. Well, yes.
You should get Judy Collins to do a special song on the audio book. And have her write a song called Fighting for Justice is what you should do.
Excellent idea. I'll look into that. Excellent idea. I like your idea. Yeah. Thank you.
I bet she would do that. That's excellent. All right. So, well, we have about 2 minutes left. What should we cover in 2 minutes, Mark? First, you got to tell everyone where to find the book and where to find you and how to do more research on all this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So do that.
Thank you. Well, the book's out there everywhere. I really encourage people to go to bookstores, the independent bookstores, even Barnes & Noble, and get the book there. Of course, most books, as we know, are sold by Amazon, and it'll be up there tomorrow. It's been up there for weeks, and the pre-orders have been substantial, but tomorrow is the day, so we'll see what happens there. As far as I go, my website is markshawbooks.com. You can go to there and read about all my books and have questions there, but also my email. And I answer every single email that comes in here. We've got a list now of over 4,000 email addresses, but I answer them all. And that's mshaw, I-N, as in Nancy, at yahoo.com. mshaw, I-N, at yahoo.com.
Yahoo.
So if you get a chance, please get in touch with me.
That's fantastic, Mark. And what's next? What's the next thing you're, you know, a writer's like a shark. You got to keep swimming. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm taking a little bit of a time to obviously talk about and promote this book and everything. But there's a murder case in New York City that I've come across that Dorothy Kilgallen actually investigated back in the 1950s and 60s. It was a spectacular murder case that was never solved. And there were 15 or 16 women that they felt like had killed this millionaire. And I'm going to look into that case. Whether I'll write a book about it or not, I don't know. But if Dorothy thought it was important enough to report on at the time, then I believe it's worthy of a book.
Mark, it's definitely worthy of a book. 15 or 16 women kill a millionaire. That's the next Quentin Tarantino movie. That's,
yes,
that's
it is,
amazing.
Exactly. It is. Exactly.
All right, Mark, pleasure to talk to you again, and good luck with the new book. It's been a real treat to hear you tonight. Keep listening, everybody. We'll be right back with more on TNT.